We're in Netivot Shalom. Today we're going to, instead of doing the Parsha, we're going to learn a little bit about Sfirat HaOmer. So we're in the additional volumes, Chelek Bet, on page Shin Yud Zayin, on Sfirat HaOmer, Mamar Shlishi, Tafkid Yimei Asira, Shinoi HaMahut. Says Netivot Shalom, Usfartem Lachem Mocharat HaShabbat, V'gomer, tisbru chamishim yom v'yikravtem mincha charasha la'ashem. So the Pesukim say, with regards to Sfirat HaOmer, you shall count for yourselves from after the Shabbat, which Chazal understands to mean from after Pesach. You will count 50 days, and then you will bring a new mincha to Hashem. And that new mincha that you're bringing to Hashem is the Shtelech Haman Shavuot. So that's because it's what bridges us from Pesach to Shavuot. Tzarich leva'er, siyum ha-pasuk, v'gravtem mincha charasha la'ashem. We have to understand this end of this pasuk of bringing this new mincha to Hashem. Shelechora hu kashur le'pasuk ha-sheni, v'moshivotechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim v'gomer. That it seems to be more linked to the pasuk, I guess, in the middle, which was from where you dwell, you will bring a lechem tenufa. As we talked about shtayim, you're going to bring the shtei lechem on Shavuot. Lomar shemincha zo mevi'im min hachadash. You're going to bring it from the chadash, from the new grain. V'im kein, haya ra'oi lichtov zot pasuk shel moshavtecham taviu, umi denichtav pasuk shel usfartem lachem, mash bezeh kashur li'inyan ha-sfira. Meaning, if we were to look inside and read through all of the pesukim together, he's pointing out that this concept of bringing a mincha chadasha la'Hashem should be linked to the concept of bringing the shtei halechem. But the way that the pesukim seem to be structured is that it's linking this bringing a new mincha to counting the 50 days. So why is it that it seems that the goal of the 50 days is to get us to a place where we're bringing this new mincha, and the pesukim aren't as explicitly linking it to where it should be linked, which is to the bringing of the shtei halechem on Shavuot? Odish lever halashon ha-omer ha-tznufa. We also have to understand the phraseology here that it's the Omer Atzunfa, this Omer offering that's being waved. Shne'emarkan v'kein b'shtei alechem atzeret ne'emar lechem tznufa. That also it's called a lechem tznufa. There's the Omer Atzunfa, and then there's this lechem tznufa, this wave offering of bread that's going to be brought on Shavuot. V'im kimatznu inyan tznufa gam b'shar korbanot harib b'chinat elu. There are many korbanot where you have a waving of the korban as part of the service. But here, it's identifying the name of them as Omer HaTznufa and Lechem HaTznufa. Why is it that although there are many korbanot that have a tznufa aspect to them, that this becomes part of the essence of the korban itself as being embedded in the name? And there's obviously going to be a reason for this, and we're going to explore what that reason is. V'yish lomar, al pi shepreish maran, adoninu morinu v'rabinu b'vet Avram, zichuto yinolenu b'shem avi ad I'm out. I was so close. What sefer would that be? I don't know. Tov, it seems to be the father of the Netivot Shalom, is the way I understood that. But either way, he says, Beferush, Adamu Behimato Shia Hashem, that it says in the Pasuk, man and beast will God show salvation to. Shemar Amez Alavodati Miasfira, and this, he brings this down in many different places with regards to Sfirat HaOmer. It's a Pasuk that's often linked to Sfirat HaOmer. Adamu Behimato Shia Hashem, that is linked to the Avodav Yemeasfirat HaOmer. Ki et HaOmer Bitchila Yemeasfira Heviu Misseorim, Shemachal Behema, that the Omer in the beginning. So what is the Omer? What happens in the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer? Where does Sfirat HaOmer get its name from? The Korban HaOmer. What was the Korban HaOmer? Is that you would bring the first of the new grain of crop of barley to the Beit HaMikdash, and that would allow one to eat chadash, to be able to eat new grain from the new year. But it was always specifically of barley. And barley is considered machal behema. That's food that we normally feed to animals. That's normally animal food. Ushtei halechem, as opposed to when we go forward, we move from the Omer HaTznufa with the Korban HaOmer, which is the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer. Where does Sfirat HaOmer end? What's the conclusion of Sfirat HaOmer? Shavuot. And what did we say is the korban that we bring on Shavuot, which is unique? We almost never bring such a korban in the Beit HaMikdash. Shtei halechem. We almost never bring bread. It's unique, one of only, I think, two instances where you bring bread in the Beit HaMikdash. And you bring the Shtei HaLechem. What is Lechem made out of?
Chita.
Chita, wheat. and that there's this movement over the course of Sefirat HaOmer from the Korban HaOmer of barley to the Shtei Alechem of wheat, and a lot of people link into that, and that's what he's bringing out here. Ki HaOmer b'tchila yimei Asra heviu misorim shemachal behemah, that we start off with bringing the food of behemot, of animals. U'Shtei Alechem sheikrivu b'chag HaShavuot hayu michitim machal adam, that's brought from chita, from wheat, which is the food of human beings. V'atam l'fi shebehiyotam b'mitzrayim hayu Yisrael b'chinat behemah, when we were in Mitzrayim, we were on a level of a behemoth, we're on the level of animals. Kemo she'amru chazal, ala pasuk, lakachat lo goy mikarev goy. Shizob Mitzrayim hayu keubar b'me'ea behemah, mishukaim b'tum'ah mikol evrihem. The pasuk in Devarim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, that there was never a time where God took out one nation from within another nation. And Chazal understand from that, what does it mean to take out one nation from within another nation? So it gives a mashal, like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down like an animal that was pregnant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came in and went in and drew out the fetus to give life to this new animal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave birth to Klal Yisrael, facilitated the birth of Klal Yisrael. But what he's using that Chazal and that pasuk to show is that when we were in the level, in Mitzrayim, we're on a level of being an animal, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving birth to this new life. But the example that is given, it's like when a farmer goes and helps facilitate the birth of a new life through the animal, that it means that we were on a level of being an animal. We were behemot because we were on such a low level, we were on such a deep level of tum'ah, that's all that we could live up to. That was our status and where we're at. Okay, mivuar b'sefer be'er Avram sheyitzia Mitzrayim lo hayita yichula liyot al yidei tara midot kivan shehayita az kazo ha'ta'avot hamidot shelo hayu yicholim lehatchil letaher otan v'hageula hayita rak mikoach emunah k'mamar chazal bizchut ha'emunah nigalu rak achar sheyetzu mimitzrayim yitchilu yimei ha'sfira shem tkufat tarat hamidot uva hitafchu v'yitzalu b'michanat be'ima l'bichanat adam. Oh, there's no punctuation here at all. Good, okay, we're going to pause there for a second. Let's go back and explain that. So he's saying that we were on such a low level in terms of our midot in Mitzrayim. We were in Memtat Shari Tumas, the way that it's described. That we're on the lowest level of spiritual impurity. The way that it's described in the Sfarim, and the way this is described by people who expound on the Sfarim, is that the natural world is built on seven fundamental parts, right? We always say that seven is the number that relates to the natural world, that the world was created in 7 days. And those are reflective of those seven fundamental building blocks that all of Olam Hazeh is created with. Why then do we have 49 levels and 49 days of Sefirat HaOmer and 49 of so many things? Is that it's reflecting the depth of that reality. There are seven fundamental building blocks to reality. But those things in and of themselves are not origins. And the way that we show that is by saying is that even those seven fundamental building blocks themselves are comprised of the same seven fundamental building blocks. It's easier when you use the example of the Sefirot, which is the time of the year we engage the Sefirot on Sefirat HaOmer. It's not accidental that those two terms overlap. So according to our Kabbalistic tradition, there are seven primary Sefirot. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and Malchut. And the reason that there are 7 days in creation is because the seven fundamental building blocks of creation are those seven Sefirot. And they each reflect in a day. And somehow, the first day of the week is Keneged Chesed. We often talk about the concept of the Malchut of Shabbat and Shabbos Malchata. There's a lot of discussions of Malchut and Shabbat, and the last of the Midot happens to be Malchut, because Malchut and Shabbat go together. There's a lot of connections in all of the days, Peseder. But but if you look at it in terms of the Sefirot, so the seven fundamental building blocks of reality are the seven Sefirot. But those Sefirot were created. And everything that's created has to relate to the seven fundamental building blocks of creation. Which is why even though Chesed is one of the fundamental building blocks, in and of itself is comprised of those seven elements. Because there's Chesed, Shebechesed. And there's Gvura, Shebechesed. And there's Tiferet, Shebechesed. Now it's true that then there's also Chesed, Shebechesed, Shebechesed. And Gvura, Shebechesed, Shebechesed. And Tiferet, Shebechesed, Shebechesed. But the point is, once you've said that those seven fundamental building blocks themselves are comprised of the same seven elements, you've indicated the infinity of the system. Does that make sense? Is that clear? I'm still jet lagged, so I have no idea if what I'm saying makes sense. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on Sfirat HaOmer, seven is the number that indicates the building blocks of reality. And once you take seven and multiply it by seven, you're saying that it encompasses all of the details that ever were and that ever will be. And in the same way that when you have seven, seven is what is in this world. What is eight?
Beyond.
There's teva and lamala mina teva. In the grander system, 49 is the expansion of that, everything that ever was or will be in this world. And 50 is always the gate that's totally beyond. That's beyond everything that ever could be. And that's why when you look at the systems in Judaism, a lot of systems of 7 and 49 and 8 and 50. What's another system of 49 and 50? The Shemitah and Yovel. So every 7 years you have a Shemitah, but every seven cycles of seven you suddenly have this super Shemitah, which leads into a Yovel. And what happens in Yovel? Everything just goes crazy. The shofar blows and all land returns to its original owners and slaves are freed and loans. Everything. It's just totally different space, totally different reality. Reflecting that same essence. 50 is always beyond. What?
So do we have 50 also?
Like that? Yovel is the 50th year. Okay. No, Yovel is the 50th year. Okay. After the 7th Shemitah, you have a Yovel.
Okay.
Right? The way that that plays into Sfirat HaOmer is dealing with this concept of spiritual impurity. So again, we talked about already at links to the Sfirot. You have Sfirot Lakan or Lakan. You have Sfirot in a place of purity and Sfirot in a place of spiritual brokenness, impurity. So those Sfirot, in each way, when we were in Mitzrayim, we were in the lowest possible place. Every single Chesed Shebe Chesed, Gvur Shebe Chesed, all of the levels of that there are, and every Midah that there is, was broken in a place of spiritual impurity. And that's impurity. That's why we were on the 49th level of Tum'ah. And had we stayed, according to the mainstream Shitot in how this works, had we stayed for a minute longer in Mitzrayim, we would have entered the 50th level of spiritual impurity, and once you enter 50, there's no turning back. There would have been no possibility of redemption. But that means that when we left Mitzrayim, we were in as low of a place as we possibly could have been. And that's what he quotes here. He says that k'mamar chazal bischuta emunah nigalu. The only reason we came out of Mitzrayim was because we had emunah. Not because we were zocheh in our ma'asim. Not because we were zocheh in who we were. We had emunah. Emunah was what got us out. And emunah was what allowed us to leave, but then put us on a 49-day journey to then repair the completely damaged system of self that we were living in. And every single day of Sfirat HaOmer, we accomplished two things. We're meant to accomplish two things. To remove one level of spiritual impurity on one midah, and on the flip side, to then not only just remove the spiritual impurity, but to engage the purified level of that midah. To leave the negative behind and to move into the positive spiritual place, to move into the pure place within that midah. And we're doing that for every single midah over this 49-day process. But because when we left, all we had was emunah, but we were totally spiritually impure, that's why. What level were we on in our paradigm that we built here in the Netivot Shalom?
49.
What level were we? Well, sort of on the, that's in terms of number. Conceptually, where were we? We're behema. We're like animals. We're on the lowliest level that we could be. We were human animals. We were nowhere. We had no ownership. We had no purity. We had attained no ownership over our midot. We were like animals. And then over that 49-day process that we're in right now, the schut of this time is to be working painstakingly day after day to purify ourselves and to raise ourselves up to be the most that we can be, to purify every level of my being, every aspect of myself, every midah that I have. And when I do that, when I control and rule over my own internal world and have brought it to a place of purity, then I'm zocha to be called Adam. Then I'm a human being. And that's what we're trying to strive for on one level in Sfirat HaOmer. That's the one of the primary goals of Sfirat HaOmer. And that's what he says here after the first one line is Bizchut HaEmunah Nigalu. V'rak achar sheyatzu mimitzrayim, only after we left Mitzrayim, hitchilu yemei ha-sfira, then Sfirat HaOmer starts. Sheim tkufat which is the time of purifying our midot, purifying ourselves on every level. So that's Omer's time we're working on our midot, meaning one mida at a time. What's the gematria of mida? What's mem?
49.
What's dalet? And what's hey? Which is 49, right? It's the time where you're working on your midot. It's the same gematria of it. Every single midah, this is the time you're working one midah, one after another to get to that place. Only after we left Mitzrayim, that becomes the time where we're working to metahera midot. That's where we're supposed to transform ourselves from being a bechina of an animal to bechina of a human being. Which is the goal of Sfirat HaOmer. To bring ourselves to a totally new place. To take all of the broken parts of myself, leave them behind, and rebuild myself as an entirely new person. Only a human being can come to Kabbalat HaTorah. And we're building ourselves into the pure human beings that we're meant to be to get to Kabbalat HaTorah and be the human beings that can receive that Torah. And based on this, we can explain the pasuk that it says, "You shall count for yourselves after Shabbat." And again, Shabbat term means after Pesach, the day after Pesach. V'ikravtem mincha charasha laHashem, kemo shekatuv v'kli yakar. Shemincha charasha hi remez the kabbalat Torah shenemar aleha b'chol yom yu be'enecha karashim. That it's saying you shall bring a new mincha charasha, a new korban to Hashem. Yagar says that this Mincha Karasha is hinting to Kabbalat Torah, because it says by the Torah that every single day the Torah should be like it's new in your eyes. You should see it fresh. It should be a Mincha Karasha every day. Hitchadshut is linked to Torah. But it should be la Kabbalat Torah in order to get to Kabbalat Torah. Shenir Miza bihikravte Mincha Karasha laHashem. Shechim laAvodat Sfira. We need Sfira in order to get there. Shel Sheva Shavot Chamishim Yom. Shel Avodak Re'lafuk Mikanata Beimalu Kanadam. To transform ourselves over these 49 days to. From being like an animal to being like an Adam. Next paragraph on the top of the second column. Odi Yishlamar, b'mashma'ut mincha charasha laHashem, in the meaning of this new mincha to bring up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, al pi ha'amor sheikar avoda b'tkufat yimei ha'sfira, that the main avoda in Sfirat HaOmer is l'itchadesh kebriya chadasha, is to be born anew, is to make ourselves totally new and fresh, b'bechinat be'imal b'chinat adam, to transform ourselves and leave behind all of our animalistic self, to become a human being, to be reborn as a human being. V'ze pirush v'ikravte mincha charasha, of bringing a new mincha, meaning shalidei avodat meaning, what is the Mincha Chadasha? I'm meant to be the Mincha Chadasha. To get myself to a place where when I get to Shavuot, that the Mincha Chadasha that I bring is this new self that I've built over the last 49 days, that's the Mincha that I'm bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving myself, I am that Mincha Chadasha. Because I've totally built myself anew, built myself from scratch, purified myself on every level, and made myself into something new. וברמז בראשי תיבות של מנחה חדשה, אותיות ממחת. שבזה יתרון האדם מן הבאימה. And it's hinted to in the Roshi Tevot of Mincha Charasha. What are the Roshi Tevot of Mincha Charasha? Mem Menachet, which is Moach. That's the way in which we are different from animals. Ki habeima ein la dat v'shilton hachomer. Hachomer v'ativiut sholet alav. That an animal doesn't have a dot of its own. It's totally ruled by its nature. It's totally ruled by its physicality. Vilo Adam hu ba'al moach, a person is, their mind is meant to rule their body. Umisugal liyot tamid tachat shelton hadat, there is a person, what defines it, what makes us human, is that we are meant to rule our physical selves. An animal lets its instincts rule itself. A human being overrides its instincts and rules itself. In the way that the sirot are understood, there's many misconceptions about the Sfirot that are very dangerous, but there are many misconceptions about the Sfirot. The Sfirot are not, we use interchangeably Sfirot and Midot, which is why they come together in this time of year. And a Midah means an attribute. And if you say that a Sfira is a Midah, and we're talking about God's seven Sfirot, or God's seven Midot, it sounds like God has attributes, and that's Kfira. That's Mamash Apikorsu. It's heresy to say that God has Midot. God doesn't have an aspect of chesed. God is not limited, he's not bound, he can't be defined, God is infinite. So then what are the midot, what are the sfirot? It's a very fine difference, but it's an incredibly important difference. There are God's created midot. God created seven midot and utilizes those seven midot to guide his world. God uses those seven midot to be manhig the world. That's how it's meant to be understood in its depth. So when I experience God's chesed, and I feel God's chesed in my life, what I mean is, if I understand it astrophically correctly, is I feel that God is choosing to interact with me through the created midah of chesed. I'm feeling God's presence because he's interacting with me with that created midah of chesed, but I still have no concept of God's essence. I feel his presence in my life in that he's interacting with me through the created midah of chesed. Does anybody understand the difference? Questions, thoughts, comments? Difference between a proper astrophic perceptive and heresy. So good to get this down. Clear? We're created B'Tselem Elohim. And one aspect of us being created B'Tselem Elohim means that we are created with those same seven midot. But they're a part of us, unlike God. They're not a part of God. They're actually a part of us. But in the way that we're created B'Tselem, we're in the shadow. It's a shadow of godliness. We're not gods. We're not gods. We're created in the shadow, in the tzelem of Elohim. And those midot are a part of us. But what's the tzara shaveh? In what way are we meant to mimic God? To emulate God? That in the same way that God guides the world through his created midot, through these seven midot, so too are we expected to rule our own internal world by taking ownership of our seven midot that are part of us and actively ruling and guiding our internal world intentionally by taking ownership of those seven midot, of purifying those seven midot that are inside of us and ruling our world that way. It means that I don't act with chesed by instinct. I don't act with gvura by instinct. I have rulership and ownership over my internal world, and I choose when to act with chesed. I choose when to act with gvura. And you see in the world so many people who do great things, but they do it because there's an innate push in them. They're built that way, where chesed may be so ingrained in them that they automatically go towards chesed, and sometimes in a destructive way. There are destructive aspects to chesed. Even quote-unquote positive chesed. There are times when people are so compelled to give, and they just need to give and give and give, where they give to the extent that they lose all sense of self. That's unbalanced chesed, because the chesed is ruling them. They're not ruling their chesed. There are people who become so withdrawn and put up such walls, not because they're trying to guard themselves, but because they don't have a balance of chesed and they're pure gvura. And a true human being, an adam, is somebody who purifies their midot to make sure that they're pure, that they're not acting out in chesed or gvura, tiferet, netzach, chol yisrael, malchut, that they're not acting in destructive ways. But not just they're not active in destructive ways, even when they're acting in productive ways using their midot, that they're doing it actively and intentionally, and I rule my internal world. My internal world does not rule me. That's what separates us from animals. An animal can do a chesed to another animal, but it's pure instinct. An animal can do something totally destructive to another animal, that's also pure instinct. We're meant to override our instinct and do good intentionally. And over these 49 days, we're meant to purify every aspect of ourselves so we have full control of our internal world and are using it in Kedusha to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a person who's made themselves into a kli that can be mekabel the Torah. That's a person who goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shavuot as a Mincha Chadasha Lashem, where they're the Mincha Chadasha. They're a person who, Mincha Chadasha, that they're ruling, their moach, their mind is ruling over their body. Their higher faculties are ruling over their physicality. That's the work of Sirat HaOmer. The first word of the line is the conjunction of Adonino Marino Varabinu. Bevet Avram, that the main tikkunim on Sfira are meant to be the Shabbatot. Why? Kidiftiv, Sheva Shabbatot, Timimot Tiana. It has to be 7 full weeks, but how does it say 7 full weeks? It doesn't say Sheva Shavuot. It says Sheva Shabbatot. That at the very least we should be living up to Sfira on Shabbat. The me'achar she'ikar avodah shel me'as sfira hi liot b'briyah charasha. That in that sfira, the goal is to become this whole new creation. Hare hazmana misugal biyoter lezehu Shabbos Kodesh. The best time to be able to work on recreating ourselves is Shabbos Kodesh. Ki b'Shabbos Kodesh mitchadeshet kol ha'briyah l'briyah charasha. Because it's on Shabbos the whole world itself is renewed. We'll read to the end. Umitoch kach misugal gam kol yachid litapech liyot b'riyah charasha. Therefore, Shabbos gives us the extra koach to become a b'riyah charasha. V'alkena Shabbatot him azmana misugal lihishtanot b'chinat b'imah l'b'chinat adam. That's the greatest opportunity to go from the b'chin of an animal to the b'chin of a person. Why so? So originally the world was only meant to be 7 days long. Right? There's only seven fundamental building blocks to reality. It was only meant to be 7 days long. That's why it says, the Pasuk says, Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. What's the translation of that Pasuk?
Or 7 days God created the world?
Usually it's translated as in 7 days God created the world. But that's both of those are incorrect. It just says, Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem. What is the little translation of that?
Because?
That God created the world to be 6 days long. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. See, God created the world of 6 days. The end. And had Adam and Chava not sinned in Gan Eden, they would have moved on to a Shabbat that would have been the Shabbat that we daven for every Shabbat, which is Harachamanu Yanchilenu Yom Shekulo Shabbat Le'ad Olamei Olamim. We ask for a day of eternal Shabbos. Why do we ask for a day of eternal Shabbos? Because that's what it was supposed to be. It was meant to be 6 days and then a seventh day that would have gone on for eternity that was an eternal Shabbat. And we asked to come back to that place on Shabbat. But we sinned, and it broke reality, and so reality theoretically should have ended. Where did the Bria get the koach to keep going after that first Shabbat? How is there a second week? How is there a history of the world? Where did that next week get its koach from?
Previous.
From Shabbat. And every single week for the rest of eternity, the whole next week gets all of its koach from the Shabbat that preceded it. Right, we even say in the first psukim about Shabbat, "Vayichlu Hashem v'aretz chotzon v'yichal Elokim yom Hashem melach Torah shesav v'yishbot b'yom Hashem melach Torah shesav v'yivarech Elokim et yom Hashem v'yikedei shoto v'yivarech Elokim et yom Hashem v'yikedei shoto." And from that, the Sfarim understand that the makor ha-bracha of the entire world and the makor of kedusha of the entire world, where is it built into? Shabbos. And that's where the koach comes to give forth, to give birth to a whole new week. So it's the same way that, so what he's bringing out here is that within Shabbat is the koach of hitchatshut, to have, to create, for there to be a potential to go forward, to create something new. The irony of Shabbat, I guess, in that way, is that Shabbat, you're not allowed to create, and yet within it is the potential for the creation of a whole new week. So too, on Shabbat, we have the ability to take advantage of that creative potential and bring ourselves to a whole new place on Shabbat, which is why he's saying it emphasizes Shevat Shabbatot Timotin. At least the Shabbatot should be complete. At least the Shabbatot we should take advantage of and bring us to new places and allow us to create ourselves as new beings of Kedusha and Tahara to come before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Questions, thoughts, comments before we go on to bed? It's a very powerful time of the year. Sfirat HaOmer is a very underrated time of the year. It's a very deep time. It's a very subtle time, and it's a very misunderstood time. The Sfarim talk about that the koach in Sfirat HaOmer, that if a person truly is metaher every aspect of their being, I think it's quoted from the Zohar, that if a person is metaher every aspect of their being on Sfirat HaOmer, they don't need Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They're good to go. That while it normally takes 400 days to transform every aspect of my being, on Sfirat HaOmer, I could accomplish what it takes 400 days to accomplish in 49. The electricity in these days to become better, to be something else, is there. But we have to struggle and work and strive to achieve that which Sfirat HaOmer offers us. Based on this, we can understand that which Chazal say in the Zohar, that the time of Sefirat HaOmer has an aspect of the Zayin Nikiyim, which a woman goes through in order to reconnect to her husband, that when a woman is in a state of spiritual impurity, and she's waiting to go to mikveh in order to reunite with her husband, she has to go through 7 days, which are referred to as Zayin Nikiyim, which are 7 days that are totally clean and therefore totally pure. And that these 7 weeks, each one of these weeks, is like one pure, clean day that allows us to get to a place that just like it, that allows a woman to then reconnect in a place of purity to her husband, and they can come back together and be unified as one. So too, these 7 weeks of Sefirat HaOmer, each one is a bechina of these days, which allow us to then unite with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and become one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at the chuppah that is Matan Torah. To reunite with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with like a husband and a wife come together at Matan Torah, which is again, it was referred to as the wedding day, Yom Chatunato Ze Matan Torah, that the day of the wedding is Matan Torah. This allows us to come together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at Matan Torah. So he says, if that's true, and that's what the Zohar says, so fine, you know how many days it should be between Pesach and Shavuot?
Seven.
Don't give me 49. Give me 7 days, not 7 weeks. So he says, Maran, he's now saying what we added a lot previously that wasn't in the text. So he's now saying what we said before. He said the reason for that is that as opposed to the distance from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, right? We call them the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, but they're not really 10 days in that sense because the first 2 days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah are Rosh Hashanah. Those are the first two. And the last day of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah is... So how many days are there in between Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Seven.
He says, that's an aspect of purifying ourselves for Yom Kippur, one stage each day of those Zayin Nikim, so to speak, to get to Yom Kippur. But not so on. Sefirat HaOmer goes deeper than that, like we talked about. It's not just getting through each one of the midot, that we're purifying ourselves. We're not just purifying chesed. We're purifying every aspect of chesed. Chesed shebechesed, gvur shebechesed, tiferet shebechesed, netzach shebechesed, hod shebechesed, tiferet... Yisod shebechesed, malchut shebechesed, and then gvur shebechesed, and then gvur shebegvur. Every single aspect of that. It's totally different by Sefirat HaOmer, because we're going through every single detail of who we are in order to get there. V'abior bazeh, shetafkidi me'a sefirah hu kamor liyot b'riyah chadashah. The whole point is that we're supposed to be creating ourselves anew. Kachana l'kabbalat Torah is a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, for Shavuot. U'kamar chazal, b'chol dor v'ador, chayav adam lir'ot etzmo ki'ilu yatzav Mitzrayim. That every single generation has to imagine themselves as though they left from Mitzrayim. D'hainu she'b'chol dor, chayav adam lir'ot she'ye yotzehu atzmo Mitzrayim. U'itachek b'michnat av... u'bar b'me'eh b'heimal b'chinat adam. That we all have to see ourselves like we're every single year. That we're being born on Pesach. We're leaving Mitzrayim behind on Pesach. But then for the next 49 days, we have to purify ourselves and take ourselves from being a behemoth to being a person. Im kein tzarik shetiyeh, al kein tzarik shetiyeh ha'avoda hazo tein b'chol midah shebeklalut ve'im b'chol prateha. Every single aspect needs to be looked at. Every single aspect needs to be purified. Sha'az yeh ra'oy u'mukhshar l'kabbalat Torah. Then we can truly have a Kabbalat Torah. V'ni al piya ne'emar, to transform ourselves from an aspect of an animal to an aspect of a person. And that's why on Shavuot we bring ma'achal adam, we bring bread, we bring lechem from chita. We can then understand the continuation of the pasuk. That we then have to bring a lechem tnufa, two of them, as a bikurim lahashem. Once we then reach a level of being a person on Shavuot, we've purified ourselves and made ourselves an adam on Shavuot. Reshita avodahi bikurim lahashem. The first avodah that is bikurim lahashem. This is quoting from the first pasuk of Sefer Vayikra, right, which deals with korbanot. That it says, "Adam ki akriv mikem korban Hashem." When a person comes to bring any korban to Hashem, whether it's from the behema, from the bakar, from the tzon, that's what you should bring your korban. Ha'ikar hu adam ki akriv mikem. And I think we learned this piece in Vayikra when we did Vayikra. But he says it's very beautiful. He says, "Adam ki akriv mikem korban laHashem." That if you're coming on a bechina of Adam, what you're supposed to be bringing as a korban is you're bringing yourself. If you're at a bechina of Adam, if you truly have achieved a level of Adam, what do you bring as a korban? You bring you. Adam, ki akriv mikem korban l'Hashem. You bring yourself as a korban l'Hashem. If you're an Adam, then you're zocha to bring yourself as a korban l'Hashem. Mashem akriv imenu atzmo, he brings himself. And he says, mikem, roshei tevot, mida keneged mida. Hainu shiyase b'nigud l'midato v'tivo. He's bringing everything of himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a true Korban LaHashem. There are some people who are more geared toward easier ways in Avodas Hashem. That don't come to them in a difficult way. The essence, the primary korban that we're meant to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adam ki akriv mikem. Hadibrim hakashim biyoter is to really dig deep, and the things that are hardest of ourselves, things that we don't want to give up, to give those up and give them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheotam davka yakriv l'Hashem, that's what we're meant to bring to Hashem. From your places of dwelling, you're going to bring bikurim to Hashem. The most difficult thing we're meant to bring to Hashem. That's what we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bikurim are always, he's not going into it here, but he's indicating, the bikurim are always the hardest to give. This is, he talks about this extensively in the Parsha of Bikurim, in the beginning of Parsha Ki Tavo. That the inyan of Bikurim is that when you go, back in the day when you were a farmer, when we had farmers, right? You went out in the beginning of the season, and you went and you plowed your field. And you planted your field, and you davened for rain for your field, and you tended to your field. And you had no idea what was going to come of it. And for months and months of the year, you're living in a total state of anxiety, and you have no, you've putting in and putting in and putting in, and you have no idea what's going to come out. And then when that moment comes where the first fruits come out, the joy that you have in seeing those first fruits is incomparable. And what do you want to do when you see that first fruit? After all that work you put in and all of that stress and all that anxiety and all of that effort. When you see that first fruit, what do you want to do? When you see that first apple, when you see that first orange, when you see those first grapes, what do you want to do?
Just take
a bite out of that grape, take a bite out of that apple, and feel literally the fruits of your labor. Right? That's where the phrase comes from. What does a Jew do? A Jew takes that first fruit. That's what Bikurim is. That's why it's so chaviv by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew goes and takes that first fruit and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the most beloved to me, therefore, I give it to you. That's Adam ki akriv mikem korban l'Hashem. When you take that thing that's most precious to you and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's most precious to me, and therefore I want it for you. That's a korban. That's a korban. Back to the first korban. That's the difference between a kain and a hevel. Hevel, the kain gives a little bit from his field. He goes and gives a korban to Hashem. But what does Hevel do? What makes Hevel shouldn't have been the one to have received his korban to have been received. He was literally the little brother who's copying his older brother. And like little brothers who copy their older brothers, what happens? The parents praise the little brother and ignore the older brother. Right? That's always what happens. And the origins of that are in Cain and Hevel. Cain has the idea. Cain says, I want to bring a korban. And he goes to his field and brings a korban. Hevel says, great idea, I'm going to do it too. And God turns to him. Of course, Cain was angry. But the Mefarshim and the Tivot Shamar Medayik and the Psukim. The Hevel Hevi Gam Hu Mi Bechorot Tzono Umichal Behen. When Hevel goes to bring, he doesn't just bring the leftovers in his field. He was a shepherd. He finds the fattest ones in his field. Bikurim Mi Bechorot Tzono Umichal Behen. He takes the first ones, the fattest ones, the best ones. He really gives to Hashem. And that's why, how is it phrased? Hevel Evi Gam Hu. Hevel was the first one to give a true korban. It's that he was giving the choicest of his flock, but not just there, but by giving the choices of his flock, what was he really giving over? Gam Hu. He gave himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cain gave a korban. He said, oh, a little left over my field. Fine, okay, I'll give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? Hevel understood, no. You don't just give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to give, you give right. And that's why his korban was received. Hevel evi gam hu mi bichorot zo mechal behen. He gave Bikurim. He gave himself. He gave of himself. That's a Korban LaHashem. Adam ki akriv mikem Korban LaHashem. And that's what he says here. Hainu at davara chaviva kashelo biyoter, by giving over the hardest parts of ourselves, the hardest things to ourselves. That's oto yakriv LaHashem. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of Chelek Bet. The Omro, Taviu Lechem Tnufa Shnaim, to bring this Lechem Tnufa, two of these Lechem Tnufa. Shte HaLechem Miramzim, these two bread offerings are hinting to. Alechem Kipshuto Hainu Tavata Achila. And Bet Kidarshan Chazal Alechem Asher Hu Ochel. She'ilu Bet Aninim Nafsho Shel Adam Mitchamdam Ve'otam Yimsru Lashem Achbigum Lashem. See, what are the two things that we're? What are the two aspects of bread that we're giving up? One is we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking our ta'ava, our desire to eat, and we're raising that up to God. The desire itself and that thing which we want to eat, which is the lechem itself. Both aspects of it, we're going and bringing it to Hashem. Over Sfirat HaOmer, we're meant to be working on ourselves and bringing every aspect of ourselves and raising it up and giving it over to Hashem. That's what we're going to do on Sfirat HaOmer. See if we can plow through the end of the piece. Gimel. V'yavo od al pi kol ze inyan omer atzinufa. We can also understand based on this the concept of omer atzinufa, this wave offering of the omer. V'lechem tzinufa, the waving of the bread. Al derech ha-sipor me'arav ha-kadosh rev Aaron ha-gadol mi-karlin zichotu yegen alinu. She-ki-adua ha-yita avurato ha-kadosh la-shiv ba'alei tshuva la-avihem shba-shamayim v'rabi me-shiv me-avon. So there was the Rav HaKadosh, Rabbi Aaron HaGadol Mikarlin. So it was known that his Avodat HaKodesh was to help people do tshuva, was to create Balei Tshuva, and to return them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upam achat, next column, upam achat pagav adam sheakvar kol kach rachok rachmano letzlan ad sheshum divrehem diburim lohu ilulo. That he was so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this person, that nothing could help him. V'tafsu bedash bigdo. V'tiltel oto be'omro elav ad matai istovev kach ale admut umiyad hitlahev hala v'hishtateach al ha'aretz b'za'akag dola umara sh'otel ashuv b'tshuva. I think he grabbed him by his shirt and shook him and said to him, Ad matai yistovev kach ale admut, until how long are you going to walk around, I guess, aimlessly on the earth? And somehow that shook him into tshuva. I think that's what the story means. Achar kach hisbiru Rabbi Aaron Zels, Rabbi Aaron explained, Sha'ish hazeh kvar haya menutak min ha-shoresh rachman atlan. This person was totally detached from his roots in Shamayim, from his roots in the upper realms. V'lachin lo ho'ilu shum diburim shedibur elav. Nothing that could be said to him was going to help him. Ki lo haya mesugal klal lishmo. He couldn't hear. V'al yidei ha-taltela shetiltelu chibero to b'chazra el ha-shoresh. By shaking him, he shook him back into his root. U'miyari tore l'ashuv b'tshuva shlema. And then that, once he reconnected to that root, he immediately wanted to do tshuva. Based on this, we said in Parshat Ba'alotcha, "Ve'inif Aaron et Leviim tenufa lafnei Hashem." That Aaron waved; he actually waved the Leviim, and the Leviim became the Leviim. There was a service of literally waving them, the people. That was part of their dedication to becoming the Leviim. She'inyan atnufa higam kein she'aron tiltel et kol levim b'mitziyuto, that he was shaking them out of their reality and into a new reality. Ki az nitkadshu levim l'avodat Hashem. That was how they became in a place where they could be kadosh to serve a kadosh baruch. Ubechdei li'italot l'madriga yotzer gvoha liyot misharet l'Hashem. In order to reach a higher level to serve a kadosh baruch hu, hayah levi zakuk she'yitaltelu et kol mitziyuto v'yarimu oto le'olam yotzer gvoha, to shake them out of their reality and to shake them into a whole new reality, into a more loftier reality. This is also the Omer Tznufa and the Lechem Tznufa. In order to transform ourselves into a whole new reality, to leave behind our physicality, to leave behind our animalistic state, we need to be shaken out of that. B'chdei la'agil le'bichinat Adam, to reach the level of Adam. U'kimokin la'agil le'dargat Adam, ki yakriv mikem b'chirurim la'ashem, limsor la'ashem b'rach et kol inima kikarim v'chavim alav yoter, shim b'chinat tenufa v'tetzlau, in order to let go of everything that we're connected to in this world, that we're grasped onto so dearly, the things that are so precious to us, we need to be shaken, to shake ourselves, to let go of those things, and to be able to then raise them up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To shake us out of where we are and to bring us to a different place. And that's why the Torah doesn't tell us when Shavuos is. It never defines the date of Shavuot. Meaning, how do we know when Shavuot is? We know it's 50 days after Pesach. That's how it defines it. But it never tells us on a specific date. It only defines it as being 50 days after Pesach. Because what is Shavuot? Shavuot is no more and no less than what I've accomplished on Sfirat HaOmer. The identity of my Shavuot is built by my Sfirat HaOmer, is built by the work that I put in Sfirat HaOmer. That is its identity. As the Ramban famously says, that Sfirat HaOmer is Chol HaMoed. The same way that Shavuot is called Atzeret, that Shavuot is called Atzeret, just like Shmini Atzeret is the eighth day of Sukkot, and in between the first days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, what do you have? Chol HaMoed. That the Atzeret, Shavuot is called Atzeret. It's Atzeret to what? So it's Chol HaMoed are the 49 days of Sfirat HaOmer. The Ramban says it beferush. Because what gets us from Pesach to Shavuot is that Chol HaMoed, is that Sfirat HaOmer. These are the holy days in the year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to purify ourselves from all of the things, from all of the shells and the peels that distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from all the levels of Tum'ah that we have. As an aside, he's quoting me this language of Letaharenu Miklipotenu Mitzumotenu is from the Hiratzon at the end of saying Sfira every day. So I'd encourage you not only to count Sfira, but to say the whole parash, the Lishay Mikud beforehand, the Arachaman after the counting, the Mizmor Tehillim after that, which happens to have seven psukim, and then go after that. The Yiratzon there is very, very beautiful and links into everything that we talked about purifying ourselves in Sfirat HaOmer and forces you to bring in the Midah of that day, to mention the Sfira of that day, and to contemplate the Sfira of that day. But that's where he's quoting from in that language. To transform ourselves from the aspect of being an animal to being a human being. Which where we rule over every aspect of ourselves and every aspect of our desires. Shatachliti v'atahera v'atkadesh, and he's now again quoting from that same Yiratzon. V'atahera v'atkadesh b'kdusha shalmala lehagia l'madrigal yonah shel kabbalat Torah, to purify ourselves with the highest levels of purity, of holiness, and to reach the highest and loftiest levels in kabbalat Torah. It's an incredibly powerful time. Sfirat HaOmer is an incredibly powerful time. It's an opportunity for us to examine every aspect of ourselves, to work on every aspect of our midot, and it's not just an opportunity to do so, because it's an opportunity to do so and it's built into the fabric of the year. As I mentioned before from the Sfarim that talk about this, every single day that we're in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a special siyata d'shmaya that we're able to achieve what it takes days to accomplish any other time of year. In one day, we can flick a switch and take that midah inside of ourselves, remove all aspects of impurity, and move it entirely into a place of taran, to a place of purity. And through that avodah that we do, of leaving our animalistic instincts behind, of leaving behind, of following our instincts and following our physical selves, and gaining rulership and ownership and guiding, leading our own internal world, with our moach, with our mind, with our higher faculties, to become an Adam, that Bezrat Hashem we should be able to be Adam ki akriv mikem korban, to bring a mincha charash al Hashem, to bring ourselves to come to Kabbalat Torah, we're ready to give ourselves totally over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we bring ourselves to a place where we can give everything of ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the midah keneged midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, fine, then I will put myself in the Torah and I will give myself over to you. If we empty out ourselves, create that space, and empty out ourselves by giving ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give himself to us in the Torah and make ourselves those who can receive the Torah. And that's how we achieve Kabbalat the Torah. By purifying that vessel, by clearing out that vessel that is ourselves, purifying our midot, and bringing ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishra Hashem, we should be zocher to take advantage of this very powerful time, to look into the deeper layers of this time, to purify ourselves, to reach the level of being, truly being an Adam, truly being a human being, and through that, each in our own way, receive the Torah and Shavuot, Bezrat Hashem. Shkach, everybody.